This is KYUK, Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Akiachuk Tribal Police recovered the body of Joseph Ikamrak last Saturday. Mike Williams Sr. was traveling to Bethel on Saturday morning when he spotted Ikamrak's body floating in the Kuskokwim River about 3 miles downriver from Akiachuk. The tribal police were notified. 35-year-old Ikamrak went missing nearly a month ago. His boat was left in Akiachuk, and nearby villages helped conduct ground and river searches for him. Akiachuk Tribal Police Chief Mark Matta says they identified Ikamrak by his debit card in his wallet, which was still in his coat's chest pocket. He says Alaska State Troopers took the body to Anchorage for a medical examination. Matta says the cause of death has yet to be determined. In environmental news, the Lower Kuskokwim School District has 2 weeks to remove the diesel fuel from the Napakiak School fuel tanks to prevent an environmental disaster. The U.S. Coast Guard issued an administrative order to the school district on Friday, giving them until August 30th to complete the job. The order came a day after the Coast Guard traveled to Napakiak to inspect the site after receiving a report of the Kuskokwim River advancing towards the tanks. On scene, the Coast Guard measured 76 feet between the eroding riverbank and the fuel tanks where about 36,000 gallons of diesel are currently stored. In a press release, the Coast Guard states that the authority to issue the administrative order comes, quote, if the threat of discharge presents an imminent and substantial endangerment to the public health or welfare of the U.S. Moving north, the whitefish commercial fishery opens today on the Yukon River. That's 2 weeks ahead of when it usually opens in September. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game calls the timing, quote, experimental. Commercial salmon fishing on the Yukon has been slow, and the department wants to see if fishermen can sell whitefish during the lulls in the salmon run. The whitefish are harvested using set nets, and the commercial periods will overlap with subsistence fishing openings, but will be closed during commercial salmon openings. In statewide budget news, Governor Mike Dunleavy has delayed signing the operating budget until this week. His signature is expected to accompany a number of line item vetoes for programs whose funding has since been restored by the legislature. On Friday, the governor's office said two programs Dunleavy previously eliminated now had his support. They are Online with Libraries, known as the OWL program, and Live Homework Help, which offers free remote tutoring for students. Alaska Library Association President Robert Barr says the roughly $810,000 in funding is crucial for digitally connecting Alaska.
Because one of the major things that the OWL program does is enable rural libraries to provide broadband internet connectivity to their communities. So that's probably the thing that I'm most excited about.
The OWL program shut down July 1st following the governor's veto, but a note on the state website on Friday indicated that funding has been restored and would be back up soon. That'll make a difference in smaller, isolated communities. In Tenakis Springs, librarian Doherty Carter says the OWL program helped keep the city government connected for conducting official business with the outside world.
Our board members often leave at different times throughout the winter, and so we are connecting via the video teleconference for our board meetings. And other government entities have used it for meeting with different government officials in their offices.
The Live Homework Help program is, as the name suggests, just that. Robert Barr, who also serves as Juneau's library director, says it's a free service.
That any K through college really student in Alaska can connect to a real life tutor between the hours of noon and midnight to receive tutoring in any subject, as long as they have an internet connection. So the two programs are kind of paired, right? You need the broadband internet connection to make use of Live Homework Help.
Earlier this week, the governor also said he'll support the legislature's funding for a number of childhood, educational, and senior programs that he'd previously vetoed. And in more statewide news, what do you do when you've gathered enough signatures for a recall application? For the organizers of the campaign to recall Governor Mike Dunleavy, the answer is keep going. While they say the effort passed the minimum under state law, they're planning to go through early September. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitcherman reports on why and what could happen next.
Recall campaign chair Mita DeWitt has two words for whether the group considered stopping at the minimum.
No way.
DeWitt says signature gatherers have heard an outpouring of concern about how the governor has done his job.
We have been able to collect 29,577 signatures. While that number by itself may not be impressive, the fact that we did it in 2 weeks is historical.
That's more than 1,000 more than the number required to start a review of the recall application by Director of the State Division of Elections, Gail Thanumiai. But the campaign plans to gather signatures through the end of the state fair on September 2nd. That will provide a buffer in case some signers gave incorrect information. Since the effort started on August 1st, Dunleavy has reversed his position on several line item vetoes that helped inspire the recall. But DeWitt says the changes won't deter the campaign.
It's not like it was an outlier, disenfranchised group over there. He did it to all of us. And we have a long memory.
DeWitt says that if Dunleavy again advances more than $300 million in cuts to public education, like he did in his original budget proposal in February, it would strengthen the recall campaign.
If he does provide cuts to K through 12, it will just energize this movement further. But people want this to happen fast. They want him out of the office now. We do not want him to cause any more harm, and he would do us all a favor if he just resigned.
Once the campaign submits the application, Thanumiai will begin her review. She'll seek a legal opinion on whether the grounds for recall in the application hold up under state law. The law requires a recall to be based on lack of fitness, incompetence, neglect of duties, or corruption.
If this thing is not a valid recall, I don't know what is.
Scott Kendall is legal advisor to the campaign and was chief of staff to former Governor Bill Walker. Kendall says he and other lawyers reviewed the entire history of recalls in the state, as well as all of the related court decisions. For example, Kendall points to a veto by Dunleavy of court funding over decisions upholding the validity of Medicaid funding for abortions.
That sort of attack is, and the specificity of that attack is absolutely unprecedented. I've never seen something like that.
Kendall says the crucial question for the Division of Elections, and for the courts if it comes to that, is not whether Dunleavy should be recalled, but whether the listed grounds for recall are factual. And he says it won't make a difference that Dunleavy has reversed some of his positions.
As a legal prospect, you know, these actions we allege broke the law happened. They were consummated. So I think from a legal aspect, absolutely not. He hasn't mitigated anything.
Kendall says the campaign isn't slowing down after the veto reversals.
If someone only does the right thing under threat of recall, why would we believe he'll do the right thing if we let off?
For his part, Dunleavy has denied that his veto decisions have anything to do with the recall drive. Kenneth Jacobus is the former counsel to the Alaska Republican Party. While he hasn't done formal legal research against or for the recall, he's followed the process, and he's skeptical of much of the legal reasoning behind the recall. Jacobus says there's no question that Dunleavy had the authority to veto court funding, even if publicly linking it to abortion decisions was unusual.
I think it's tacky, but I can't say that it's illegal.
Jacobus predicts that Alaskans seeing the governor work with the legislature to close the state's budget gap will take the wind out of the sails of the recall effort.
If they want to defeat Dunleavy, they're going to have to do it at the next election.
The recall campaign plans to use the addresses it's gathered with the signatures on the application to mail the recall signers when it's time for the second stage, a petition that would require more than 71,000 signatures for the recall to be placed on the ballot. Campaign leaders expect the recall election to happen within a year. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please send your news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yuktun coming up.